Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 29. Psalm 29. We'll be reading the 11 verses of this chapter. Psalm 29, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, it was just this past Wednesday night that we experienced here in Sioux Center and the surrounding areas quite a vicious thunderstorm. And the power and the majesty in the storm, the thunder rolling, the lightning flashing, the wind coming. We drive around the county and see the devastation left behind, the power and glory of the thunderstorm. In Psalm 29, David uses the picture of the thunderstorm to give us a glimpse of the glory of God. God is glorious, God is majestic, God is creator of all. And David uses this picture, something that they could relate to, something we can relate to give us a glimpse of what it means when we say God is a majestic God. God's a powerful God. He's a strong God. He's a glorious God. God is the God who reveals Himself in creation. We know He reveals Himself in two ways. In His Word, that clear revelation of what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. But God also reveals something of Himself in creation also. We can look at creation, we can get a glimpse of who God is. Tonight we look at Psalm 29, one of the creation psalms in the Psalter. Psalms like Psalm 8 and Psalm 19, Psalm 104, which speak of creation and yet draw our attention from creation to God. Psalm 29 is like that. It looks at something in creation. It looks at the storm that we might have our attention drawn to God and to His glory. The theme that runs through this psalm in that center section is the voice of the Lord. So tonight we talk about the voice of the Lord, the God who speaks in the storm, and what that shows us of His glory, of His majesty, and of His power. David begins, Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Before talking about things on earth, David begins with things in heaven. And he calls the angels to ascribe glory to God. Now, why would he do that? Think about what has been revealed about angels. They are glorious beings. They are majestic beings. They are powerful beings. We see where angels occur in the Old Testament text. Already back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sent out, there is a cherubim set up with a flaming sword to guard the way. Powerful, majestic. The image strikes awe and fear in us. We think of when Israel was entering the Promised Land, just getting ready to go in the story in Joshua chapter 5, and Joshua encounters this angel. And who is he? He is the commander of the army of the Lord, preparing to go with them into battle. Angels are majestic, glorious, powerful beings. We think in Jesus' birth, who announced that birth? It was the angel, and then a heavenly host was there, glorifying and praising God, and the glory shone forth. Angels are majestic, glorious, luminous beings. And it is these glorious ones, these majestic ones, who are called to ascribe to God the glory. Even as great and majestic as they are, their greatness in heaven pales in comparison to the glory of God. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Heaven itself acknowledges that as wonderful and majestic as they are nothing compared to the God of all glory, the God who is over all, the God of creation. The psalmist says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Not only do they ascribe to the Lord glory and praise, but they worship Him in His holiness. To worship is to bow down before Him. They don't stand with their glory competing with His glory. No, they bow down before Him, glorious and majestic. We think of the images in Isaiah chapter 6 of the seraphim, these glorious, luminous beings with their six wings, and they bow down before God and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. As great as they were, they bow down before the glory of God. Heaven itself acknowledges God's majesty. Heaven itself and the glorious beings there ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. David begins in heaven, where the glorious beings there acknowledge the greater glory, the greater majesty of God Himself. Then he brings our attention from things in heaven to things on earth. The glory of God displayed in creation. Verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. When storms came into Israel, they came off the Mediterranean. They would be able to see the clouds forming off over the water, and they would hear the rumbling in the distance. That's what he's talking about. The voice of the Lord over the waters, far away yet, in the distance, and even as far as it was, they could already hear it coming. The voice of the Lord over the waters, they could see those clouds forming and the lightning flashing and coming closer and closer. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The storm starts in the Mediterranean and moves in until it comes over the land. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He's now going to demonstrate what that means in the land. Verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Well, to really get the flow of this psalm, we have to remind ourselves of the geography of Israel. Where was Lebanon? Lebanon was up in the north. And so the storm begins on the Mediterranean. It comes in off the water. It enters at the north part of the land of Israel. And it comes into Lebanon. And there we read, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The image conjured up by the phrase cedars of Lebanon was an image of permanence, of trees that were well-rooted, of those things which could never be shaken. We might use the phrase today, something is as secure as the gates of Fort Knox. Strong, powerful, secure. That was the picture that would be conjured up in Israel's mind with the use of this phrase, the cedars of Lebanon. Something secure, something strong, something that's been there forever. But when the voice of the Lord comes, when the voice of the Lord comes into that north part of the land, He breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord breaks these cedars. He is more majestic than even the strongest thing they can imagine. His power and majesty overshine anything here on earth. The strongest thing we can imagine, God is more powerful. We have seen that in the storms. We've seen that in the storm this past week. The devastation that the wind and the storms can do. I remember when we lived in Sioux Center, when I was at Dort, I guess over 20 years ago, walking home from school one day, it was a day after one of those nights like Wednesday night, and we had a huge storm. And on my way walking home from school, walked past a tree, one of the old trees in town that had probably been here for 100 years. And that tree the night before had been struck by lightning. And that trunk was just split wide open. Powerful, big, huge tree, a symbol of strength. Yet when the power of the storm came, the tree just peeled away. That's the power of God. The strongest thing we can imagine here on earth is nothing compared to His glory. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. What is the picture that David is giving to us here? What does he say? Lebanon skips like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. Again, our geography is helpful to us. Lebanon was in the north. Sirion was the mountain on which the cedars of Lebanon grew. And so what David is saying is, not only are the trees shaken up, but even the ground is shaken. The mountain on which they grow, that in which they are rooted, is shaken when the voice of the Lord comes. Not is He more powerful than the cedars, but more powerful than the ground itself. The Lord shakes. They skip like a calf, like a young wild ox, all over the place moving. God's power, even to move the earth. Some of you have been to California. Some of you have lived in California. We lived there for a time while I was in seminary and experienced a few earthquakes. It's something that's hard to describe. We assume the ground is always going to stay still. We assume the ground is going to be the most firm foundation we could ever plant anything on. And then the earthquake comes. And the ground itself begins to roll. That which we think is sure, is firm. It's the ground. But when the earthquake comes, even that begins to move. The voice of the Lord is like that. More powerful than the cedars, more powerful than the mountain on which they grow. He makes Lebanon to skip, to move, to jump around like a calf, and Sirion that mountain like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It is majestic. The storm comes in off the Mediterranean, seen far off. It enters the land up in the north in Lebanon and then moves down through the land of Israel. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Kadesh is not in the north of Israel. It's in the south, just before you go off into the rest of the wilderness. So what the psalmist is doing is saying that storm comes in off the water, enters the land, goes down through the entire length of the land, and then goes down to Kadesh. And there, the glory of the Lord shines forth. Flashes forth flames of fire. Shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The flashes of lightning, a display of the glory of God. Now, I know that thunderstorms and lightning can be destructive, but I got to tell you, I love to watch the lightning. I love to watch the flashes in the sky. They demonstrate something of the glory of God, of His majesty, of His power, of His magnificence. When we were living in Highland, Indiana, on an internship there, it was a summer internship time, and went to watch a fireworks show on the 4th of July with a number of our friends. They always have a fireworks show on the 4th of July. And so went with our friends to watch that fireworks show, and we were waiting for the show to begin, and it's usually a pretty good show that they put on. And in the background, miles off, we could see thunderheads forming and the clouds moving. And those thunderheads beginning to form and the flashes of lightning crinkling through all those clouds. And that was the backdrop for this fireworks show we had come to see. And as good as that show was, it simply paled in comparison to the light show that God was putting on. The majesty, the glory, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. God's magnificence is seen in creation, is seen in the storm. The psalmist goes on, "The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. He strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry glory." That storm, that voice has gone throughout the land, from the Mediterranean into the north, down to the south. All have seen it, and they say, "Glorious! Majestic, fantastic." All in God's temple cry glory. The glory of God in creation is seen everywhere. He is seen to all who look and find Him there, seeking with the eyes of faith. That revelation, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. David gives us this picture of the storm coming and working its way throughout the land, that all may see, all may know something of the glory and the majesty and the power of God. This picture in Psalm 29 gives us a glimpse. It starts in heaven with those glorious beings called to ascribe to the Lord glory, to worship Him. It moves from heaven down to creation, where that picture of the thunderstorm coming in off the waters and working its way throughout the land makes people cry glory. But it's in the last two verses of this psalm that it becomes personal for us. Up till now, it's been a beautiful picture of God's revelation and creation. But now David concludes with these last two verses. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Now, not talking about the abstract work of God in glory in creation, but now speaking of God as one who is King. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. And when David uses this particular word here over the flood, it's not just over floods in general. We've seen some floods this past week, some flooding in the fields in various places. He's not talking about just water in general. He says the Lord sits enthroned over, the word is the Mabul, over the flood, the Noahic flood, that flood that came and demonstrated God's power able to destroy all on the earth, a flood of judgment. And the Lord sits enthroned over that, even that greatest cosmic event of the coming of the waters and flooding over the earth. God is enthroned over that. God is the one who sent the flood. God is the one who sent the judgment on those who would not acknowledge Him as the King. He is the one who sits enthroned over the Mabul, over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. The waters The flood in the ancient Near East were a picture of chaos, a picture of challenge to authority. The monsters came from the sea. The evil demons came from the sea. They all came to challenge. And God sits enthroned, more powerful than anything in creation, more powerful than anything in the spiritual world. The Lord is enthroned over the flood. He sits enthroned as king forever. When David calls to mind the flood of God, the flood by which he sent his judgment on those who would not acknowledge him, he also calls to mind the blessing that came through the flood. That there were those who were saved. There were those who rode over the waters, over the flood. Noah and his family, who acknowledged who God was. When David calls the flood to mind, he calls the covenant to mind. When people broke the covenant with God, he came in judgment. But for those who followed him, there was blessing. How does God work out those covenant blessings? The God of the covenant works them out through the mediator of the covenant. The one who would come and be the Prince of Peace. The Lord gives strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. In the end of this psalm, David looks forward to one who would rule and sit on the throne forever. Who is it, children, that is enthroned forever in heaven? Who was it that came as the Prince of Peace? It is Jesus Christ Himself. A strength. A refuge, a fortress, God Himself who came to earth, the voice of the Lord, for He was the Word of the Lord. He came to reveal even more than creation the glory of God. All God's glory dwelt in Him. David points us forward to that great King, to the King Jesus Christ, the voice of the Lord, which began in heaven and then came to earth. And went throughout the land of Israel declaring the truth of who He was. The one who affected everyone. All who saw Him and embraced Him by faith cried, "Glory! This is the Son of God." And just as in Israel they could see those storms coming far off, they could see those clouds forming and knew the storm track was coming, so too those who were enlightened by God to see the signs of Jesus. God had told of His coming. God had pictured His coming. God had prophesied His coming. And in the fullness of time, God sent Him to bless His people with peace. A peace between that great God of the covenant and a fallen man. A peace that would be accomplished only through Christ Himself. The peace that would be accomplished by the offering up of His self, His body, His blood, for the sake of His people, that He might strengthen them. May the Lord give strength to His people. How is that done? Through the work of Christ. May the Lord bless His people with peace, no longer at enmity with God, but now in right relationship with God. Jesus Christ sends His Spirit to give us strength, to work in our hearts. What are the pictures of the Spirit? Wind and fire. Again, this beautiful picture of a revelation of God, of His glory and of His majesty. We are the ones tonight who can sit confident, who can sit assured, because God is on His throne. The voice of the Lord calls forth again tonight. God speaks to us, not only in creation out there, but in His Word tonight. That Jesus sits enthroned over all creation. He is the one who will give strength to His people. He is the one who blesses His people with peace. Do you know that Jesus? Have you embraced Him as the only Lord of your life? Because if you're holding on to the things of this world, to the cedars of Lebanon, to the mountain of Syrian, even those will be shaken by God. Only those who know the voice of the Lord can have assurance and confidence and comfort. of the peace that God has provided. David gives us a beautiful picture. The voice of the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. The Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And all in His temple cry glory. Do you know the glory of that Jesus Christ? The one who sits enthroned over all. Children, we may have more storms yet this summer. And thunderstorms can be scary sometimes. But when you hear that thunder, and when you see that lightning, remember, Jesus sits enthroned. Jesus is in control. He is over all creation. He gives strength to His people, and He blesses them with peace. May that be God's blessing to us tonight, as we bow before Him and say, glory. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, how can we begin to acknowledge Your majesty? Words simply pale in comparison to who You are. We can say with the psalmist that Your voice is powerful and majestic, and we get a glimpse of that majesty in the thunderstorms, in the wind. But it is only a glimpse. And You, great God, You, powerful King, have come into relationship with us. Oh, what is man that You are mindful of him, and yet You are mindful. Lord God, strengthen us tonight to know that when we rest in You, You are the God who is more powerful than all the challenges that are facing us. More powerful than the cedars of Lebanon, more powerful than Syrian. Your lightning and Your glory shines forth. May we turn to You for strength and for confidence, knowing that You are the God who gives strength to His people. You are the God who gives the blessing of peace. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.